Welcome everybody to the Debian Java Birds of a Feather session. I sent an email yesterday to the Debian Java mailing list asking for topics, and throughout the day we got a lot of contributions on this.
Are you going to use this one?
I'm going to be doing very little talking on this session. Thank you. So these are some of the topics that the people posted on the Gobi page, and the idea will be to try to go through the room and select some of these topics, talk a little bit about them, and then collect notes under each topic here so we can have it as a document. And well, then I think our Gobi is a collaborative editor. And we might have some people joining us by IRC. Okay, so. Thorsten, do you want to choose one topic to begin with?
Yeah, we just start with the first one, whether our plans for bigger packages. The current state in Debian is that we have some bigger packages like Eclipse, but only the main applications. The main application, not all those nice and nifty plugins. We have stuff like Hadoop, which is the Facebook enterprise, how is it called, framework for
MapReduce.
Yeah, MapReduce and some stuff I'm working on currently is getting JRuby back into main, and some other, I've added some other ideas, but it's quite a lot of work, like getting some of the Java Enterprise application servers into Debian. We have some core stuff, the core libraries only, not any application server. We have no web applications like Liferay.
The nice thing about these big packages is that really attract new volunteers into the team. I joined, for example, to help Niels with Eclipse.
It would be interesting from the audience if someone is interested in getting some larger framework or application into Debian. If you would have something in Debian and if you have any pressing need to get something into Debian, which is still not there.
Just something that would be nice for my particular job would be if JBoss was usable in Debian, and it currently is.
Same to me, yeah.
So would you be willing to put some help on that?
I would be willing to help, but my expertise would come short of doing it, but I'd be happy to help testing it and doing things like that for sure.
Yeah. One of the problems of JBoss is that the...
Can you close, speak closer to the mic?
Oh, okay. One of the problems of JBoss is that they are starting to use Maven to build JBoss. That's not a problem. They start using it in JBoss 6. But they don't use the central Maven repository, so which is even a problem by itself. They are using their own Maven repository with their own binaries where nobody knows where they come from, how they are patched, and everything else. So that's quite a horror.
Actually, I had a bunch of questions. I'm sort of a newbie in terms of Debian policies, and started noticing a couple of projects that were using the Maven repositories for having all the primary location for all their stuff instead of the lib Java area. And just kind of looked around in terms of Debian policy, and it's like, well, where is Maven repositories as the primary location for stuff? It's sort of nowhere. So I don't even know, like, well, if I'm making a new package, is it expected? I mean, are people going to copy the example or what? I don't know.
No, we cannot use any external repositories if you want to package some package for main. So we have to resort to all packages. Or we have every package, every dependency in main, and their dependencies, and the dependencies of the dependencies. Yes, that's the way to go.
It seems as though on many projects that I've worked on, when a precedent is set and not actually corrected, very quickly, what happens is the problem is replicated by people coming into the system saying, well, here is this exemplar. It exists, therefore it must be an okay way to do it. Okay, I'll copy that. So it's more toxic than just its existence.
One of the things I've been working on is to get up a page of example Debian packages for Java and say, if you have this sort of package, this is what your packaging should look like. At the moment, I have things using Ant and things where you have to roll your own build system, which Java Help helps with. I would be really nice if I could get, because I don't actually know anything about Maven, if I could get some examples there using Maven and how to do it properly. At the stage where I have several of them written, and I'd like to get a couple more and then actually try and stick it up on the package Java web page.
That's a logistic issue. Can you introduce yourself the first time you get the mic so other people can know?
Sorry, I'm Matthew Johnson. I write Java Helper, amongst other things.
Hi, I'm Tony Mansell. I'm going back to the packaging larger packages. I just had a kind of comic question, so I'm not up to speed on kind of how the big packages like Eclipse and JBoss build and things like that, but how much do you think, I mean, the maintainers who have worked on these things, it seems like the problem is that when upstream goes way out in left field, then we end up paying the cost, if you will, kind of long term, and I'm just curious how much we might be helped by actually advocating saner building practices back towards upstream, because it happens with smaller packages too. So the Antler 3.2 has crapped out JobRef. I'm going to have to port old code kind of forward to Antler because there's all these there's all this Java software in the Java ecosystem that is simply, I pulled these jars, it worked right then, and that there's no view towards continuous library maintenance.
One of the things that happened at FOSDEM this year was that we did a talk in the Java track there where it was like, there's a whole bunch of people there who are upstream Java maintainers, and we tried to explain to them all our point of view of trying to package their software, why we do what we do, and I think being able to do that more would be good. Because yes, if we can get upstream to, you know, produce working practices that make it easier for us, then that's going to make it a lot easier to get all sorts of stuff packaged. And, you know, ultimately that's going to benefit upstream.
So Stanford University's account management system right now is written in Java, and we're taking it over in our group and planning on hopefully releasing the whole thing open source to whatever extent we can. But so I'm kind of tackling all this from the perspective that I have a bunch of internal packages that we need to write, and then hopefully eventually they become more generally usable stuff. So one of the things that would be great along those lines is if you've got a document somewhere that says, here's how you write a sane Java build system if you're an upstream maintainer of a Java package. I mean, we would start following it right away. And similar to that, is there a policy already for how do you package web apps, Tomcat style? I mean, the things that would be deployed right now as a WAR file, which is probably not a great way to deploy it in Debian, is there a policy on how that's done?
I believe there is a draft web apps policy banging around somewhere, but not via Debian Java.
So as to the versioning of jar files, this is something that is just a real bane. Recently, you know, I had a bunch of dependencies. I want to say, you know, I need to be at such and so version of jar file, whatever. And one of the, you know, just elementary problems in Java is that you can't actually easily make a symlink in Java, right? And then none of the, or you can't really tell if something is a symlink in Java. And so if you've got a Java-based build system like Ant, you know, and you look at the various Java-based packaging tools to make a deb file, to make a binary deb, it's really sort of a nightmare.
Well, to actually build the deb, you should probably not be building them directly. The helper tools are mostly written in Python or Python Perl or shell scripts, which can get that all right for you.
There are a number of decoy packages that encourage you to coming in.
Sure, and I'm. I would like to try and improve the documentation and say, look, here's the examples of how you do this properly.
Hi, I'm Wookie. So I don't know anything about Java, but it said in the thing, come along if you package a Java package and you're new to this and tell us what your problems were. I know about this cave survey software, so I know about that, but I don't know anything about Java. That's just what it happens to be written in. But I looked upon somewhere and found a bit about Java packaging. And in fact, it was very easy. In comparison to all the other things I've packaged, it was totally trivial. I had to type Java C star class everything, and it spat out a thing. And so long as I used OpenJDK, it worked. If I used anything else, it didn't work. So I made it depend on that. Now, I don't know if that's right or good or any of that stuff, but it wasn't difficult. But I have no idea whether I've done a good job. It works.
We have a meta package called Default Java. On some platforms, OpenJDK doesn't exist. So on those platforms, it's GCJ. You may find, if your package is doing something weird, that it will only work with OpenJDK, and in which case, you have to use OpenJDK. I'm going to mention several of that stuff in the next talk.
It was simply a matter of some bits being missing in the freer or non-Sun class path stuff, library stuff. I was going to say something else, but I've forgotten. It's a 700K of Java. I have no idea if that makes it a tiny package, a medium-sized package, or a huge package. I mean, it looks complicated to me as an application, but I have no idea where that comes on the scale of things.
Compared to things like Eclipse, that's quite small.
OK, so maybe we can choose another topic to discuss now. Maybe something on the lines of an automatic build system and test cases during builds, that type of tooling. I mean, we have plenty of tooling to build packages, but more toolings to be used by the whole team in this field, in the way of running our test cases automatically and stuff like that. I think you suggested this. What do you have in mind there?
Yes, it's automatic nightly builds. It comes from here. Whatever nightly means in Debian, because we are so global. Yes, the idea is that we find some API or ABI breakage early, because we cannot fully avoid such breakages. And earlier this year, I've uploaded ARNT 1.8. And it breaks some packages because it's such an important tool, such a core tool. So it would be nice to just have automatic builds at least of all packages that are packaged by the Java team once a day. So if something breaks, you will get noticed it very, very early, and you can still remember what you have done to break the other packages.
If we can do something like that, that's a good idea. Niles and I have just made a not entirely trivial change to Java Help, and Niles has tested a bunch of packages, but it would, you know, nice to be able to test all of them in an automatic fashion.
But if you're at testing, I think you had some other. The next point is close to this. So I think we should start running the tests during build time for most of the packages. Even if we will ignore test failures for the moment, that might happen very often, but so we will see the test failures in the build logs. That would help with the nightly builds. If something breaks, we can check the build logs for test failures and such things. So okay. Yeah. That I think that we should change.
The nice thing about something like nightly build is that it's something very easy to bring somebody new into the team that to work on that, for example. And you don't need to know so much about packaging, for example. I mean, at the end of the day, you're just going to be running all these builds and finding when they break. So if somebody wants to, you know, join Debian Java and give a hand, this could really increase the life quality of people running Unstable.
Can someone explain why nightly builds is an issue? I mean, you upload the stuff and it builds at the time. Why will it break unexpectedly?
I think it's to do with when you... So one of the things I'm going to be talking about in one of the other talks is to do with transitions and things like that. And currently the story in Java is very bad for for those things. And particularly also with the culture upstream, people break stuff and you might not find out until you upload and find all of your R-depends break, or some of them, the ones you didn't test. Or when we're changing packaging tool, helper tools and stuff, doing a rebuild for that sort of thing is very useful. I don't know whether necessarily should be on demand or whatever, but having an infrastructure to do that would be useful.
Hi, Tim Ritu. So one of the things I've been struggling to package is Hudson, the continuous integration server, and it uses lots of Maven, and I'm not doing very well at it. But I've sort of looked at it last week. I'm wondering whether we could plug Debian packages into that and incorporate upstream. Maybe that would be an easy way to get started on that. The downside is it's not packaged yet. So
there are also issues with Hudson and security, no?
Sorry, what was that?
There are also issues with Hudson and security.
Yes, almost certainly, yeah.
I'm Stefan. One related topic to this nightly build and testing. So to find out when something unexpectedly breaks, or even earlier, is already up here from someone about API and ABI compatibility. We had the same problem in my day job, where we developed some core platform and other people can deliver modules, which are using, of course, the code of the core platform. And those modules are sometimes not even published, so we can't really test them. So I need to ensure in some other way that they don't break. And then we used some free tool set called JAPI tools to export the API, or better, the ABI, so the symbols, and do some API checks. So someone developed this, for example, to comparing the class libraries built by GCZ, OpenJDK, so ClassPath and OpenJDK and SunJDK. And this is quite a nice tool and should be, I guess, rather easy to implement. Just for example, when uploading, exporting this ABI, or even before uploading, and then running this compatibility check.
So the we are talking about the automated ABI compatibility checking tools?
Yes.
Yeah, that seems to blend in fairly well with the current topic. So do you have any?
Yes, JAPI tools is the name. Okay. I can look up the URL and put it on the editor later.
Nice.
This is a slightly different topic, but I just have a question. So I'm not a member of the actual Java team, in terms of team maintenance. But I may be soon. but in terms of team maintenance, I mean, would you like to see more packages team maintained, or because I was thinking about this automated build, right? And one way to do it would be able to just get everything from the archive that's maintained by the Java team.
I think moving things under team maintenance is always a good idea. For one, just because you know, sometimes people don't have as much time as they need to, and it makes it easier for people in the team to fix things up. But also because it allows us to use these sorts of tools, and it makes it more easy for us if we want to make, you know, sweeping changes to some of these things. So yeah, sure. We're always happy for more people to join the team, and even if you don't join the team, if you just want to use the repository to keep stuff there, that's excellent.
The only reason I ask is because the other thing that happened is it's going to increase the amount of mail, right? When bug reports for packages that are actually maintained by the team come through, or is there some other practice that you'd like to see us use? Because I don't want to just throw a bunch of small Java packages and then all of a sudden you guys have to read more and more mail.
Well, I mean, we have a separate discussion list to the package Java's maintainers list, so I don't think that's particularly an issue. I'd rather see more packages on team maintained.
One of the problems we're having is MIA handling at the moment. Some people join the team, bring their packages, and then disappear. And then, you know, that's more of an issue. You know, if you join the team with a small package, it's fine, but stick around and maintain it.
So a couple of points related to that. One is that one of the things that's worked really well for the Perl team is that there's two separate set of lists, one which gets the bugs on Perl itself, and the core stuff, and another one which gets the bugs on all the team-maintained Perl packages, because there's, you know, 1,000 or more of them at this point. And you might want to consider that in the long run if you get kind of overwhelmed by bug traffic on JRandom Java library when you're trying to maintain the core Java packages. A quick note on something that was on here as a topic, the bind v6 only stuff. I don't know if everyone realized this, but that's been reverted. So it's not the version of NetBase that's currently in the archive does not set that, and so it's back to the default kernel behavior. Anyone who's actually installed NetBase while it was setting that still has the old setting, because it didn't go back and change and remove the configuration file that's already there. And there's a further discussion about that, but at the very least, anybody who's upgrading from Lenny to Squeeze will not get that behavior.
Do you know whether that behavior is true for K3BSD?
What's that?
For K3BSD, does that have the bind v6 only equals 1 or 0 behavior?
That's a really good question, and I don't know. The last that I'd heard, that they had kept the default BSD kernel behavior, which is bind v6 only as 1. But they said it was a kernel parameter that could be changed. Given that we just had a Debian technical committee discussion about all this, and like lots of flame wars in Debian Devel, and everybody seems to have concluded that 0 is the best default, probably somebody should go explicitly ask the BSD team, could you please set this to 0 for the Squeeze release? They seemed quite willing to do that if that's what we all decided we wanted to do.
Okay, I was a little lost. So you just said that we are going to go with that flag switch to the way make Java applications happy?
Yeah. Yes.
Woohoo!
Okay. Yes. So there will be a problem for people who upgraded to the NetBase that was in SID and Squeeze for the period of time that was setting that flag. Those folks will get the behavior which breaks Java. But anyone who goes directly from Lenny to Squeeze and anyone who is installing it from now on will not get the behavior which breaks Java.
So let us see. So Niels, do you want to suggest?
Okay, I'm Niels, by the way.
You have to hear yourself loud.
Okay. Can we scroll down? What do we have in the bottom? Yeah, what about the JVM-based languages like Gclose and JRuby?
Yes, I'm Thorsten, by the way. Yes, I was wondering why we call every Java library or every package, every binary package, lib something Java. I think that's not appropriate for other languages. For packages of written other languages, they just happen to use the JVM, the Java Virtual Machine. That's why I wanted to propose something that we are using the language name or the programming language name in the source package, if it's that useful. So lib something Java if it's a Java package, and lib something Scala if it's a Scala package. And for the binary package, I would use the Virtual Machine. So lib something JVM if it's a classic Java Virtual Machine, or lib something GZJ if it's GZJ native package, or lib something JNI, that's what we actually use for native code, and maybe lib something Dalvik if we ever start shipping Dalvik VM.
I love that idea, but it sounds like a lot of busy work.
Yes. Emmett Hickory. The curious question I have about that change in naming scheme is, how does it affect things like IKVM, where we have one VM implemented in another?
But our Python,
I mean, it's the exceptions for packages.
Quick question about that. If you have a package written in Java or Clojure or whatever, are the binary packages all useful for the other ones? Can they all link against them? If I write a library in Java, can this be used by Clojure or Scala or whatever?
Yes.
One thing that you may find, I know you mentioned Clojure up there, and I know a little bit about that. We may find when we get to that, there's a similar problem. They're starting to build their own build system. I think it's called Linengine. And it's they also have another site called Clojars, which I'm not all that familiar with Maven and Java, but I believe it's similar to that and maybe even based on it. So it pulls a whole bunch of Clojure jars from random places to build whatever package they're building. Like, just trying to remember the big web, Composure is one of the big web frameworks that does some of that. So anyway, that's something I guess you'll have to consider too. I don't know if I have any questions offhand.
So what do you guys want to talk about? Or doesn't need to be here. Somebody has.
Just a quick question. You were suggesting that you wanted more packages to be team maintained. What's required to make your package team maintained? Just add Java team to the maintainers list. Is that it? Or?
We have a Subversion and Git repository, and so if the source is in somewhere we can find it, it allows the team maintain. You know, if we want to do any team maintainer changes, then we know where to find it.
How does that link back to the upstream? Well, you're just maintaining the Debian part, or
It very much depends on the packages. The Subversion, it's mainly just the separate Debian DIRs. I know there are some people using Git with pristine upstream branches and so on.
Okay, I'm going to throw shamelessly a topic I care about, and I was told no on the mailing list, so why not keep insisting until I got people tired and say yes? That is having libraries with source code. You know, when you are debugging something on Eclipse, it's very nice to have the source code. And the reason people say no is because, of course, you don't want to have a whole set of debug packages because it's just more packages and blah, blah, blah. But on the other hand, you know, we are about free software, so we want to have all the source code there so you can actually look at it and understand how the thing works.
Isn't that spelled apt-get source?
And that's the part where it's not the case. Because as you start having all these Maven build systems, the source is distributed a bunch of different folders. So I have been doing that for some libraries, but then I have to, you know, get a class and fish around, and then change in Eclipse where the source code is located for different classes in the same jar. That's definitely suboptimal.
I'd have thought that's more a problem in Eclipse than with our packaging. I mean, all of our source is available. If the package makes it hard to just apt-get source and see the source, then, you know, maybe that's a change we should make to the package. But I don't think we should necessarily be shipping source in all the binary packages.
I think isn't the root of the problem there basically that Eclipse doesn't know how to find the source? So, I mean, the problem with apt-get source is that it puts the source somewhere, wherever you happen to be. Ideally what you want to do is have essentially the same behavior as you have in GDB when you start tracing through debugging symbols. If you install a debug package, it knows the debugging symbols are just right there. If we had a standard path where we could install source jars, then in theory Eclipse should be able to do the same kind of thing. Correct me if I'm wrong.
What I'm trying to convince people is to generate a source jar to begin with. I'm sorry. What I'm trying to convince is for us to include on our build system generating these source jars. We currently don't have them.
I don't think that's necessarily a bad idea, but I definitely think it should be a separate package and not installed by default. So debug package or similar. Yeah, or a source package or whatever, but.
Is the main objection that you just don't want to have twice as many packages or that you don't want to have bloat in the archive?
I don't have any objections. I want this stuff.
No, I mean, well, because
but do you have an objection to it being as debug packages rather than shipped in the main thing?
No, I want debug packages. And actually, you know, even just if you have in Java Helper something that I can get the source and then build it again and have the debug packages built by myself and I can install that, even that will be better than the current situation. But when we have this discussion a while ago on the mailing list, somebody says something that says, oh, and you should only look at the API, you shouldn't look at the implementation. And I'm saying, yes, that's true, but this is you know, you're here, you have all the source code, so you want to profit from that and find the bugs and fixes and all that stuff.
Well, I ask because I think sometimes people have objected in the past more broadly in Debian to having so many, you know, so many extra packages. And I was going to say one, maybe not a good solution, but an alternative to that might be to have some way. I forget whether or not we do this with some other packages to set a flag or something so that the source could be in the package, but it may get excluded when it's actually installed in the system, depending on how you have it set. But
I'm not sure that we have anything like that at the moment. So one of the things I'm going to talk about in the next session, which is slightly germane to this, is that with C and other languages, you have a dev package which you need to build against. So with Java, you don't necessarily need that, but there are some advantages in terms of handling transitions. But what you'd essentially end up with is a package that just contains a single symlink. But if we're considering this as a sensible option, maybe what we have are dev packages which contain a source jar and some of the other stuff to build against, and then we can combine those two things to not have so many packages flying around.
Should those dev packages also register in class paths so that the standard debuggers find them and everything, or?
Somebody just added something at the end of here of the document about the Java home on update Java alternatives.
Yes, I added that one. Do you want to say? Yeah, I added that one as a developer of some non-packaged application where we have some wiki page telling people how to install and set up the system so our build system and application works. And for this application, we have the requirement of Java Home being set up and pointing to the JDK you're using to. And Update Java Alternatives already does a nice job of synchronized switching all the tools, but I don't know if the policy allows setting an environment variable automatically in this job also.
I don't think we can have it set an environment variable, but it may well be sensible to have a symlink which points to your current Java Home. So you say, user share Java Home or whatever we decide is the path, and that will point to whatever your current update alternative settings is.
I think that we have already userlib JVM something. There's at least a generic one. If you pick OpenJDK, that you have at least not the version number in it.
What is close to your request is the I don't see it here. That I proposed is Sensible Java.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. I can paste the link to the wiki page there, and I have already a working prototype. So maybe that's enough. What you want.
About the proposal, if you can just go back down. We have a similar proposal, a bug report against Java Common in Ubuntu for similar behavior about that. I don't know if you've read it. No. One of the things I said is that it's a little difficult to convince people to set this variable, especially because it has no meaning if we don't have Java on the system, and many systems work without Java. So, but basically, I'm willing to implement the part of creating a symlink that could be updated with alternatives that you could set your Java Home to. I don't mind that. But the part of setting Java Home for our users is, I don't know how to do that. And you're very welcome if you have an idea to help us with it. Otherwise, yes.
It's a totally different topic. I just happened to notice Git versus Subversion. And a whole lot of Java programmers use Mercurial as well, so it might be nice to update that.
Oh well, oops. So that refers to that. Currently on Debian Java, we have our team maintained packages using Git and SVN. I don't think we have Mercurial. No. And I, for example, I myself am just starting on Git, so the stuff that is currently maintained on Git, there might be dragons I wouldn't look at it or check things in or stuff like that, which it's bad. I mean, you want contributors to be able to contribute in
there.
I noticed the point at the bottom there about JIT and non-JIT implementations. So for people who aren't aware, at the moment we have essentially three different
JVMs, depending on your architecture. We have OpenJDK on an architecture where that has a JIT, and we have OpenJDK on some others, but it doesn't have a JIT for that architecture. And then on some others, mainly HPPA, I think, there's no OpenJDK at all. And K3BSD at the moment, so there's only DCJ on there. So what I think would be a nice goal if we could manage it would be to have a system where basically we say, we use OpenJDK in the same way that, you know, there is only one implementation of Python on the system or whatever. I don't know how feasible it is or what things we want to do. The problem here with is it acceptable to only have a non-JIT implementation is, well, there isn't a JIT implementation, so what would you like to do?
I would like to tie it also with the topic of supporting multiple JVMs. It's kind of like we are setting ourselves to a much easier task if we only support OpenJDK. But in the real world, there is all these proprietary JVMs, which I suffer the IBM JDK JVM implementation. But the nice thing about that is that it exposes a lot of new bugs on the jars. So it's not so bad to support multiple JDKs because these are real bugs on the jars.
Does OpenJDK include the com.sun.security classes, particularly Curb5 login module and some of the rest of the stuff that's sitting in there?
I know there are some people who have issues around that area relating to OpenJDK and using the non-free Sun, the Sun JDK for non-free. I don't know if it's because they're completely missing or just because there are some bugs in the implementation.
Okay, anything related to Kerberos going forward it tends to wander into that territory fairly quickly. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in the generic GSS API bits if you already have Kerberos tickets, but if you need to obtain Kerberos tickets from scratch from a key tab, then you're immediately into ComSun security stuff.
Sadly, Tom Marble is in a parallel session, but he's involving the OpenJDK jigsaw puzzle, and he's giving a talk at the end of the track. So he will be the perfect person to answer that.
Okay, great.
Okay, so any ideas with about Java security and finding embedded duplicate bits in code?
So Lintian has a whole bunch of tests for finding embedded code already. We keep adding new ones. They're sort of scary. They're mostly checking for C embedded C libraries, and so what they're mostly doing is looking in your binaries for strings that match error messages that happen to occur inside those libraries. But like many things in Lintian, it's amazing how far you can get with some ugly heuristics and a few hacks. Certainly, we're happy to take more stuff along those lines and anything else related to Java. It's always better for tests specific to a particular language and a particular set of policy if there's anyone involved in that team who's willing to sort of translate that policy into here are the things that Lintian can specifically check. You know, because I know there's a lot of things about that where you set a policy, and then you think about how do you actually check that with an automated tool, and it becomes a little tricky. But yeah, anything, we're happy to take that kind of thing.
Okay, so thank you very much. We can continue this conversation over lunch, and this document will stay here if you want to add more things later on too, if you remember. Thank you so much for contributing, and I hope you stay for the rest of the track. We have some very interesting talks. Thank you.